Do you believe in the supernatural? Do you believe in miracles? Because our subject this morning reminds us that life includes the spiritual and the eternal. Do you believe that? We're going to think of the virgin birth, and the virgin birth reminds us that with God, nothing is impossible. Think of it, the message of Christmas is that the eternal God comes into time and space in the person of his Son, Jesus. That means that the supernatural God, the eternal God, is at work. He is alive. And I have to ask you, this past year, have you been aware of God working in your life? As you look back, are there situations that you can say, yes, God is at work, not just out there, but also in my life? After all, we're going to learn this morning that He is, our Lord Jesus, is Emmanuel, God with us. Or could it be that in your busy life, perhaps your difficult life over this past year, that you have in effect practically shut out the spiritual, shut out the supernatural? I'm asking you this Christmas to open your eyes, to open your ears, to open your heart to the living, eternal God. Let's stand and read our scripture. It's found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. A couple of weeks ago, we began our study in Matthew, and here we come to chapter 1. Now, read with me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to meet three people: Joseph, Mary, and then our Lord Jesus. First, Joseph. We read about him in verses 16 through 21. And isn't it wonderful that at the birth of Jesus, Joseph acts with honor? Here are Joseph and Mary living in northern Israel, in Galilee, in this village of Nazareth. And Joseph is engaged to Mary. Both are probably in their teens, with Joseph likely to be a little older. And in that culture, the engagement was legally ratified and it was regarded as a binding marriage contract. It was not just a case where Joseph meets Mary and says, hey, you look cute, what about getting married? That wasn't the situation. It was a binding legal contract, albeit in the betrothal, that's the word used in verse 18, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, the couple did not live together. And if the engagement contract was broken for any reason, it was referred to as a divorce, and that only for extreme circumstances. So this betrothal, this engagement, was to all intents and purposes like a marriage covenant, with this important distinction that the couple did not live together. Certainly their relationship between Mary and Joseph would not have been physically consummated during the engagement. So can you imagine? Here's Joseph. And can you imagine Joseph's pain, his distress, his humiliation, and his devastation when he discovers that his fiancée, Mary, that he thought was a pure, holy, honorable person to discover that she is pregnant. He knows he's not the father. He's not been intimate with Mary. He's not the father. And therefore, some other man must have had intercourse with his fiancée. But notice verse 19. Matthew says that her husband, Joseph, was a just man. Joseph is a man of honor. He's a man of integrity. Interestingly, he never says one word that is recorded in Scripture. Matthew is giving the account of Jesus' birth from Joseph's perspective. Luke is going to give it from Mary's perspective. And Joseph, who no doubt loved his fiancée deeply, would have known that she was a holy woman. Hence his dilemma, hence his confusion, his devastation when he discovers that this woman, who he thought was a godly young woman, was in fact pregnant. Now he does something quite remarkable, doesn't he? Rather than exploiting the situation, rather than trying to defend his own character or maligning Mary, verse 19 says, he was unwilling to put her to shame. And he made a very important resolution at the end of verse 19. He resolved to divorce her quietly. And as Joseph no doubt is thinking through all of the implications of this, who now is he going to marry? What's he going to say to his family? What's he going to say to the people of Nazareth when they say, what's happened? We notice that Mary is pregnant. What's going on here? Scripture says, verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he's told something remarkable, something which must have blown his mind, that which is conceived in Mary, verse 20, is from the Holy Spirit. And he's then told that the name of this little baby boy, is to be called Jesus, verse 21, for he will save his people from their sins. We love that word, Jesus, don't we? That's his earthly name, by the way, Jesus. And that points to his greatest work, that is salvation. And so as the little boy is born in due season, he's given this name, Jesus, Savior. So every time Joseph and Mary said his name or shouted his name or called after him, they were saying, Savior, Savior. That's what it means, that Jesus comes to be the Savior. I remember when I was about 7 years old in Scotland, we have what we call guising. I think it's the origin of what is called in this country trick or treat. Guising coming from the word disguise, and children would disguise themselves and then go around the doors. But you didn't just get candy or fruit just for appearing at the door. This was Scotland, you had to work for it. And so you were expected to do something, to tell a joke, to sing or dance or recite a poem. And I remember as a little boy, 7 years old, I sang, this will stagger some of you who don't think I can sing, I sang at the door a song, a chorus I had learned in Sunday school. Some of you might know it. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, and when we call him Savior, we call him by his name. That's what the angel is saying to Joseph. You're going to give him. Don't worry, Joseph. I understand you're not the father. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. But you're going to call his name Jesus, Savior, for he'll save his people from their sins. And this young man, Joseph, must have been overwhelmed by this. A man divinely chosen, a just man, a good man, a man of integrity, a man who obeys implicitly. Every time the angel tells him something to do, he obeys instantly. That's Joseph. And now Mary, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that's Isaiah. Matthew's going to quote from what we know as Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife and knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus is born of a virgin? And that the virgin birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy, as Matthew very carefully narrates. 750 years before the coming of the Messiah, this prophecy is made that a sign is going to be given by the Lord. And God's prophecies are always fulfilled. That's why we can depend on the promises of God, that what God says, he always does. But how can a virgin be with child? How can a woman have a baby apart from the seed of man? There are many mysteries in the Christian faith, aren't there? And this sign points to one. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, not an ordinary son, a son who's going to be given this incredible name, Emmanuel. God is with us. See, Matthew wants us to understand something which we must understand, that the birth of Jesus was supernatural. Look at verse 18. It says they were betrothed, Mary and Joseph, before they came together. She was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, Joseph, son of David, don't fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This little boy about to be born is no ordinary boy. Something out of this world, something extraordinary, something supernatural is going to happen. A virgin, Mary, is going to be with child, is going to bear a child. Do you believe this? Do you believe that this is true, historically true? I do. The virgin birth was a special and a unique act of the Holy Spirit, who achieves by a fresh creative act the beginning of the human life of the eternal Son of God. That's amazing, isn't it? That Jesus is born of a human mother but had no human father. No, Joseph is not the father of Jesus in the natural sense. The conception of our Lord Jesus Christ is unique. Our Lord Jesus Christ enters this world in a unique way, in a way which no one else has ever entered it. He comes in through a door marked "No Entrance." Verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That our Lord Jesus enters this world as no one else has ever entered it. You say, is that important? It's absolutely vital. Because if you know your Bible, if you know human nature, you know that every human being is born a sinner because of Adam's sin. Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how could it be then that a sinless man be born of a sinful woman? Now, Mary was greatly honored, but she was not sinless. In the wonderful Magnificat in Luke 2, she refers to God as my Savior. No. This is the answer. Because of the unique birth of Jesus, the virgin shall conceive. He enters the world guiltless of the sin of Adam. That's why it's very, very important we understand that Jesus was born of a virgin and that Joseph is excluded as a father. A couple of weeks ago when we thought of the genealogy, listen again to verse 16 of chapter 1. As Matthew narrates the genealogy of our Lord, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who's called Christ. Notice how careful Matthew is in writing. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the man we're talking about, the husband of Mary, yes, he was the husband of Mary, of whom, feminine pronoun, of whom, that is, of Mary, Jesus was born, who's called Christ. So Mary is the human mother of Jesus, but Joseph is excluded as the father. The great Apostle Paul, as he writes about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, makes a tremendous statement. He says, the first man is from the earth, earthly. Who's the first man? Adam. Where did Adam come from? He's made from the dust of the earth. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man, who's the second man? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sees all of humanity under these two men, Adam and Christ. The first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthly. God made him from the dust of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Think of that. The second man is the Lord from heaven. In Jesus Christ, then, Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 15 is that because of Christ, because he is the second man, there is the new beginning for all of us. He is the second man. Jesus is born of Mary, so that he's truly man, but he's born of God, the Holy Spirit, so that his humanity is truly new. Our Lord Jesus directly connects with the human race, but he doesn't share in the sin of the human race as he's conceived in the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. See how important this is? That's why we believe strongly in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Gabriel, as he appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1, and she's saying, how can this be? How can I have a child? I'm a virgin. Gabriel, the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? And the virgin birth therefore reminds us, and we need to be reminded of this, that our salvation comes from heaven. The message of Christmas, in fact, the message of the Christian gospel, is that you can't save yourself. As Abu was praying, he was praying about the mess our world is. What's the answer? United Nations, NATO, America, the superpower? No. Every single person in this world, without exception, is a flawed human being. And you cannot make it to heaven on your own. This is why the gospel is good news. That Christmas reminds us that God has provided for your eternal salvation. And that it is not a matter of you trying to reach God. It is God who comes to us from heaven itself. Human solutions, human creativity, human ingenuity, human wisdom will not do it. These things left to ourselves will never solve our problem of sin, of guilt, of despair, of emptiness, of hopelessness, of our eternal destiny. No, we need divine help. We need a miracle in our lives. We need God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. So that's why we strongly believe, contrary to so much of the self-help movement around us, that salvation is a supernatural act of God. That's why I began to asking you, have you ever experienced a miracle in your life? You're conscious of the power of God in your life. So in the Bible, salvation is sometimes referred to as the new birth, of being born again or born from above. Christmas reminds us of God's grace in action, that we are saved by God's grace, by God coming into our lives, not something that we achieve by ourselves, not something that we can boast about, not something which is given to us as a reward for what we do. No, it is totally of God. And you must be born from above. You must experience personally the life of God in your soul. That's why we emphasize the importance of a personal living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. See, this new life, and the virgin birth is reminding us of this, this new life comes from God. Joseph, Mary, and now Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know Christ? These verses we read remind us that Jesus is truly God. Think of the name, Emmanuel, which being interpreted means what? God with us. The name Jesus speaks of his greatest work, salvation, Savior. The name Emmanuel emphasizes his essence. He is God. So when we refer to Jesus as Emmanuel, we are reminded of the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. Matthew, when he tells the Christmas story, refers to Mary and Joseph and the wise men. Luke, when he tells us the Christmas story, tells us of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. But John, when he begins his gospel, he begins right at the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1 and says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is saying, and all of Scripture is saying, that this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God and also God the Son. He is God. What happens at Christmas then? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That the Lord Jesus comes from heaven to earth. But he existed before Bethlehem. Listen to John 3. Most of us are familiar with John 3:16. Excuse me, but listen to verse 13. The Lord is speaking to Nicodemus and says this, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Where did the Lord Jesus come from? He descended from heaven. Listen again to his words in John 6 as he talks about the bread of life. John 6, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Verse 50, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Do you get that? He's God. What are we celebrating at Christmas? The Lord of glory becoming a man on earth. So when we think of this, that Jesus is truly God, Emmanuel, God with us, it reminds us that the existence of Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. There is no beginning to the being of Jesus Christ, God the Son. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? The eternal Son of the eternal Father descends from heaven, coming to earth, coming to Bethlehem. Here is Emmanuel. That is Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. Look on that little boy, Jesus. They're looking at God. He has come from heaven to earth. Here is Emmanuel, God, not just in heaven, but now with us. So John writes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One translation says, the Word became flesh and came into our neighborhood. He came to be with us. That little baby lying in a manger then is none other than the eternal God. He's truly God, yes, but the virgin birth also reminds us that he's truly man, that he is the God-man. Emmanuel, God, yes, but now with us. Charles Wesley writes in one of his carols, God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Who is Jesus? Who is Emmanuel? He's truly and fully God, but he's also truly and fully man. And when he became man, he didn't cease to be God. By becoming what he had never been before, that is a man on earth, he didn't cease to be what he'd always been, the eternal God. The Word becomes flesh. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. Think of that. That's what we believe. That little baby who grew as a little boy into his teens, into full adulthood, is perfect God and perfect man. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Adam had a beginning, but he had no birth. Adam was never born, was he? Of course he wasn't. He was made. He was created from the dust of the earth. So people ask, did Adam have a belly button? Probably not. He was never in his mother's womb. He didn't have a mother. He was created from the very dust of the earth. Adam. He had a beginning, but no birth. The Lord Jesus had a birth, but he had no beginning. How can the eternal God have a beginning? No, the wonder is this, that Jesus enters this world in a seemingly impossible way, in a unique way, through a door marked no entrance, born of a virgin. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to leave the world in a unique way, in a door, through a door marked no exit. How does he leave the world? Rises from the dead. Demonstrated both at his birth and at his resurrection that this is no ordinary man. This is the Lord from heaven. There is none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him. If Jesus were a man, he would share our need of salvation. Each one of us needs to be saved because we all have sinned. If Jesus were only God, he would have no point of contact with us. But who is Jesus? He's the perfect God-man. Born of a woman and therefore truly human. Born of God and therefore truly sinless. When our Lord Jesus dies on the cross, he doesn't share in our guilt as sinners, but he bears our guilt as a Savior. When we come humbly, as a trust we do, in humble repentance to the cross and kneel at the feet of Jesus and repent of our sins, our Lord doesn't kneel with us in repentance, no. He lifts us up as forgiven sinners. Entering the world like no one else. Leaving the world like no one else. And so I ask you, as I began, do you believe this? Do you believe in the supernatural? See, if this is true, you must respond. How foolish it would be then when God has provided a way of salvation. A perfect way, the Lord from heaven coming into human history some 2,000 years ago, in this unique way, in this mind-blowing way. But he comes to seek and to save lost people like you and me. I have to ask you, why wouldn't you receive Christ as your Savior? Not just looking at Christ from afar, but receiving him into your life. as your personal Savior. You say, John, yes, I need that. I need a miracle in my life. Have you asked God? Do you know this one Jesus in a personal way? Emmanuel? Can you really say he is my Savior? Can you really say that Jesus is with me, in me? That requires faith. That requires the response from you and me, not just to observe the story of Christmas, not just to even admire Jesus from a distance, but as he says, come. We sang, come all you faithful. The great word of the Christian gospel is not go and work out your salvation. It's come to me for salvation. You come to Christ and receive rest for your soul and joy and the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because he's the unique Christ, the only one who came from heaven, descended to heaven, led a sinless life, paid the price for your sins on the cross, rose again and returned to heaven. That's why we say he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Therefore, trust him. And all of your efforts and all of human efforts trying to get right with God by yourself, trying to look within for the answer as if enlightenment is within you, trying to do certain things as if we can please God by our actions rather than realizing there is nothing at all I can do other than to confess my sin and to ask for mercy and forgiveness. That is miraculous. That is a supernatural act where God himself comes to us, invades us, and indwells us, and so we are born again. Yes, you need Emmanuel. You need a bridge to God. C.S. Lewis writes this dialogue between Lucy and Aslan. Aslan, the lion, if you've read the stories, Aslan is the lion, and there's a picture of Jesus Christ. And here is the quote. Oh, Aslan, Aslan the lion, the picture of Christ, said Lucy, will you tell us how to get into your country from our world? Can you tell us how to get from earth to heaven? I shall be telling you all the time, said Aslan. But I will not tell you how long or short the way will be, only that it lies across a great river. But do not fear that, for I am the great bridge builder. That's our Savior. He's the great bridge builder, the perfect one. Truly God, truly man. We sometimes sing, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. That's it. That in our Savior, the love of God comes to us. And at the cross, God spans that huge gulf between sinful people like you and me and his holy perfection. And because of his perfect humanity and his perfect deity, our Lord Jesus Christ then is the unique, is the only bridge builder, the only mediator between God and man. Here is amazing love. Here is grace. Here is salvation. Here is forgiveness of sins, all found in Jesus Christ. I ask you, if you've never done it, to receive Christ. And if you are already a follower of Christ, surely as you think of all of the wonder of salvation, God's magnificent plan, the wisdom of God and the power of God revealed in his plan of salvation, that should draw us to worship Christ more, to follow him more closely, to be more obedient to him. And so this Christmas, I'm asking you to invite God to perform a miracle in your life. He can do it. Don't exclude yourself. Don't say you're too far away. Don't say you've messed up too much. That God can do a miracle in your life if you humble yourself, if you cry out to the Savior Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel. We're going to sing in a minute one of the old carols, and it finishes, I think, with this stanza. Will we stand and stand now, please, and read this? And can we do it as a prayer? Can each of you to read this? We're going to read it slowly, with sensitivity, with meaning, and make this a prayer, and then we will sing it together. Let's read it together. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Let's pray together. You make your response in your heart. Our Father, as we read these words, as we meditate on them, we're amazed afresh at your grace, at your wisdom, at your love. We adore our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none like him, nor will there ever be anyone like him. And now he invites us to come to him, to come and be changed, to come to have our sins forgiven, to come and bow at his feet in worship and adoration. And we do that now. We thank you that you are not a remote God, but you are Emmanuel, God with us. May that be a reality in every life and every heart here this morning, we ask in his precious name. Amen.